Thank you, Hannah. Morning, everyone. Morning. Time is moving forward, so we will get straight into it. Is that okay? Yes. I only have an hour to share. The title of my message this morning is How I Met Your Mother. And Lisa was asked to be on kids this morning, but I said, no, you need to be in the room for this one today. Where is my wife? Is she in the room? There she is. Hello, darling. How are you? Excellent. Good. Look, last time I spoke on stage, I spoke about marriage. This morning, I want to take a step backward, and I'm going to tell a little bit of the story of Ben and Lisa. I know you're all on the edge of your seats, because I want to speak about finding the one for you. And normally you might think, well, this is the kind of message that gets shared at like a young adults or a youth night, right? Because I'm assuming, well, I can see that many people in the room have already found their special someone. If you're sitting next to that special someone, just give them an elbow gently in the ribs, all right? If there's someone near you who you want to be that special someone, just shuffle over, give them an elbow. Let's not make it awkward. No? Okay. But that's okay. If you've already found your special someone, I believe there's going to be something in here for you today. Maybe you've decided marriage isn't for you, that God's called you to be forever single. God bless you. I couldn't live like that. I'm too much of a people person. I need someone around. Oftentimes, I'll just drag Lisa to the couch and say, sit here while I watch this show. I'm not into that. I don't care. I just want you here, okay? This is just what marriage is. You have to just hang around with each other all the time. But marriage is hugely important. Marriage is under attack. You know, the world says, what's the big deal about marriage? Why is it so important? Well, obviously, I believe that besides the decision to follow Christ, who you hitch your life to is probably going to be the next most important decision. It's nothing else will affect your happiness more, the call of God on your life more, your destiny, yeah, your productivity, your fruitfulness more than the person you choose to spend the rest of your life with. The world says a lot of myths about marriage that some people have heard them say, well, I don't believe in marriage because it was created by Christians. I'm like, have you read a book? Marriage existed well before the church. Marriage is found in every culture. In religion around the world. It is not something invented by Christians. You with me? It's something invented by God and from the creation of the world. Some people say, well, I don't need a piece of paper to validate our love and our relationship. What does it matter? We can just live together. We can just be partners. We don't need a piece of paper to prove. We don't need the government to tell us if we're married or not. That is totally missing the point. Of marriage. Marriage is a bit like baptism. Marriage is a public statement. It's a rite of passage. It's where you gather your whole community, your friends, your family, you bring them together and you make a statement in front of all of them that they all get to hear, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. We are making a commitment to one another. And they all get to witness it. And by witnessing it, they affirm it. And they can help support it and keep you accountable to your vows. So marriage is more than just a piece of paper. It is a rite of passage, a God-ordained rite of passage. And then others will say, marriage is half of the men in divorce anyway, so we can just be a de facto relationship. And, you know, we've been together for 10 years and, well, good for you. You do it your ways if you know better than God. Okay, as if you're smarter than him. But God says this is the way it should be. Get together. Commit yourselves to one another. Become one flesh. Leave your mother and father. Cleave to one another. Call it marriage. And what marriage does, my favorite quote about marriage, is that marriage is the institution that makes adults out of children, right? Not just from where we get children out of adults, but we get adults out of children. My youth pastor used to say this. He used to say, if you want to know how selfish you are, get married. If you're still unsure, have children. Then you'll know just how selfish you are. What marriage is a commitment, a foundation where you can say, you know what, come what may, we're together. And from that foundation and that commitment, you can raise a family, you can buy property, you can embark on the call of God of your life, you can move forward saying, you know what, we're together, we're hitched, we don't have to bother now about every year, we don't have to reassess and say, are we still going? No, it's done. We have that firm foundation. We are together, and this is the right way, the right foundation to bring kids into the world and give them the best chance at life. Have I offended anybody yet? Hold on, I'm getting there. Okay. So having said all that, I think it's time you heard a little bit about the Ben and Lisa story, okay? Now the Ben and Lisa story, I've entitled it, You're Going to Be Married Soon. And I don't want you to pay any attention to Lisa's reactions as I tell this story. Because Lisa sometimes gets the details wrong about how this went down. The way she tells it, I'm like, that's not how it happened. She makes me out to be a little bit strange, a little bit weird. She often has her foot on the exaggerator, as if you've ever heard her tell. So if you see her shaking her head, frowning, shaking her fist, these are actually gestures of affirmation. This is how she, advertises her support for what I'm saying this morning, all right? And I forbid anyone to go and talk to her after the service. You don't need to do that, all right? So I'll start the story. I was at a women's conference. Can you believe that? Me and two friends were the musicians for a women's camp / retreat / conference on Magnetic Island. Who's been to Magnetic Island? Yes, okay. It's not that exciting, really. And so me and my two friends, I was early 20s, and we played the guitar, drums, whatever. And then we left because we weren't there to stick around for the actual preaching, or we just played the music and walked out and, you know, whatever. And they had a guest speaker at this conference called Jackie Hall, Pastor Tim Hall's wife, Sam Evans' parents or whatever. And I didn't really know who she was or what it was, but we were at morning tea, and being the only men at this women's conference, we were first in line for the morning tea. And so I'm filling up with cakes and whatever, and we're sitting down at this table, and this guest speaker, who I've never met before, I don't really know anything about her, just walks past our table. She stops and she points at me. She says, you, what's your name? I said, Ben. She says, Ben, you're going to be married soon. Right. I just kind of shrugged that off. I'm like, how about just, hi, how are you, you know? But then she turns to my other friend whom she's never met, and just tells him pretty much word for word the same kind of encouragement that his own mother had given him a week before. And then turns to my second friend, and says, by the way, you need to stop speeding, because if you don't stop speeding in your car, you're going to kill yourself and you're going to kill other people. That's when my ears pricked up, because she hadn't met any of us. But just the week before, I'd seen this guy weaving in traffic like a maniac. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm not driving with that guy. So that's when I said, slow down, pump the brakes. What did you say to me? She said, you're going to be married soon. I said, how soon? She goes, soon. And then she walks off. That's it. You're going to be married soon. This is about February in, what year? 2004. February 2004. So obviously you get a word like that. The worst thing about the word is that everybody else heard it. I couldn't even keep this under my hat. Pretty soon the whole church knows. Did you hear the word Ben got? He's going to be married soon. Okay? So, well, I'm on the lookout now. I tell you what, every Sunday in church, you know, you worship with one eye open? Which one is it, God? Is it that one? She's new. All right. I said to the part, can I be on the greeting team? Can I just be at the front door? I just feel like it's my duty to welcome all the new people to the church. Hi, how are you? Are you single? Okay. They say, no. In you go. All right. God bless you. Off you go. But I'll tell you, it's just, my head was spinning. And we're a decent sized church, similar sized church to this. And, you know, I'm walking past people down the street going, is that her? Is that her? Is that her? Is that her? You know, this just months of me going, what is going on here? You know, soon. Anyway, there was this girl in our church. Her name was Lisa. All right. She'd been in our church for about 3 years. We'd never really hung out one-on-one. Never had any, you know, interest. She's probably the only girl who hadn't asked me out at that stage. you weren't there, you can't check, all right? And but I was away again on a camp in May. It was 3 months later in May. And it was a men's camp. I don't know why we keep splitting up the camps, you know. Women go camp over there, men go camp over there. This is the way it was going. And we were there having our fun and somebody upset me. I can't remember what it was. It's easy to do, but somebody said something to me and I was asleep in the dormitory trying to go to sleep. And you know, you're reliving it and you're just justifying yourself. And you know, those sorts of things. All the women are nodding. All the men are like, just go to bed. What are you talking about? Anyway. And I'm just reliving it, and then this weird thought came to me. Lying in that bed, I said, if Lisa was here, she would understand. Oh, where did that come from? But before I went to bed, before I fell asleep, I said to myself, Lisa's the one. She's it. I'm going to marry Lisa. Lisa didn't know this. I hadn't okayed this with her. Now, I wasn't going to be that guy, and please never be that guy. Never go up to a girl and say, God said you're going to marry me, all right? And girl, if you hear that from a guy, slam his fingers in the door, all right? We don't manipulate people like that, right? But I knew. I said, she's the one. So I decided over the next month or two, I thought, well, I better somehow go about making this happen. And we still... You know, I don't know how you bring that up in conversation. I mean, she knew that I'd got this word. Everybody knew that I'd got this word. But she was about to go away for 7 weeks on a prac. She was studying occupational therapy. She was about to go home to Toowoomba for 7 weeks. And I thought, well, I've got to let her know that I've chosen her and she's got to say yes. I mean, So in my roundabout way, the way that I you know, with metaphors and things... I basically told her, I said, in my own fashion, don't listen to Lisa's version, that, you know, I'd like to marry you, you know. And she went off to Toowoomba. Apparently she was panicking the whole time. I think she was just dreaming over the moon. But we chatted on the phone a few times. And I basically said on the phone, as soon as you get back, I'm buying a ring. I'm going to ask you a very important question. She got back 6 a.m. She got back on the Friday night, 6 a.m. I picked her up. We went down to the Strand, a very romantic place in Townsville, brown water and everything. And I got down on one knee to tie my shoe. Then I popped the question. We'd never been on a date. We'd never really been one-on-one anywhere. And can you believe she said yes? She's normally a slow decision maker, but she got that out before I'd even finished asking the question. We walked back to the car and I seriously said, do you mind if I hold your hand? And there we were. For the first time as an engaged couple, we held hands. We went to McDonald's. It's a great way to start your relationship. We bought some coffees for my parents. They were the pastors of the church. We woke my parents up on a Saturday morning with coffee and said, "Dad, I've got something to tell you. Lisa and I are engaged." They're like, "Wow. Way to let us know, son." They announced it at church the next day. We weren't even sitting together. Lisa was on the sound desk. I was probably played worship or something, and Dad was like in the announcements, "Ben, come here, Lisa, come here." One on each side, "Just want to let the church know that Lisa and Ben are getting married." And everyone was like, most of the people thought it was a joke because my dad always told jokes. But Lisa did have a ring on her finger. We got engaged, I think it was October. At our engagement party, the youth and young adults got money together for us to go on our first date. We went to Hog's Breath for our first date because we were classy, all right? And we were married in February, 5 months engaged. So from February getting the word, married within 12 months. No dates, no being a couple for however long. That was it. The ladies word had come true. Now, why bother you with that whole story? I'll tell you why. Because I think God took us through that not just for our own benefit. There was a miracle because there's some truths in there that can help people that are looking for the one, but also people who are already married to the one, to help them understand marriage a little bit more. And the first thing that helped me, or that what that word did for me, is it made me ready. You see, I had actually dated some people before. I was getting solicited. No, I wasn't. I had had a girlfriend or two, or three, before. And, you know, dating's weird. Dating is the way that we court and date in the Western world, we think it's just normal, but it's most of it's cultural. It's not the way it was done in many cultures all throughout history, and sometimes not even in cultures today. But we just think this is the way it's done, right? And we don't even think about it. But what that word did for me is stopped me looking for a girlfriend and started me looking for a wife. See, I had dated before and had a girlfriend, but there's something different when you're looking for a girlfriend as to when you're looking for a partner, a lifelong partner. And I dated before with the, as a good Christian man, with a good thinking, well, obviously, if this all goes well, one day, eventually, we'll be married, right? That's the way you go into it. I'm not just doing this for fun. One day, yeah, this person could be the one. But what do? You find someone, you go on a few dates, you have a bit of fun, you hang out, you try and be a couple. Are you going to get married? Yeah, like 2 or 3 years away. What are you doing for 2 and 3 years, seriously? You're holding hands, you're doing this, you're doing that with someone who probably, in all likelihood, might end up being someone else's wife or someone else's husband. So that word changed my mindset. I was ready to get married now. I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I said to myself, the next person I hold hands with has to be the one. I don't have time to muck around anymore. And my first encouragement, if you're single today and you're looking for someone or whatever, is, are you ready to get married? If you're not, what are you doing? Seriously, what are you doing? If you're not ready, I used to be a youth pastor. These kids would come to me. Oh, this person, you know, can't get them out of my mind. You know, is it Michael Jordan? Because that's who I'm thinking about. Is it Michael Jordan? Yeah, you know, I say, you know, I really feel like they could be the one. I say, cool. Are you ready to get married? Oh, no, not for a couple of years. Forget about them then. What? But they're the one. Yeah, but you're not ready. What are you going to do for the next 3 years? You're just going to hold hands and sit next to each other in church? Read a couple's Bible? What are you doing? Are you ready? If you're not ready, what are you wasting your time for? I was ready. So I stopped looking for a girlfriend and I thought, I've got to look for a wife. And you see, I wanted something, I realized, different in a wife to what I guess had been my mindset previously. Because most of the times when we're looking for that dating, that relationship, what are we looking for? It's attraction, right? It's, are we interested in the same things? Do we enjoy each other's company? Are we having fun? That sort of thing, yeah? But guess what? You need more than that in a wife. I've got attraction up there. Do I like this person? That is important, right? But that's not the most important thing. Values are way more important. Do we consider the same things as important? Do we value the same thing? I tell you what, God told me I was going to be married soon. It forced me to think totally differently. There were girls and people in our church and in my circle who, you know what? They were lovely, they were nice, I enjoyed their company. But there was one girl in the church who bled for the church like I did. She was there early, she stayed late. Some people, you know, you'd give them a job and they'd like do it half-hearted or they'd complain. If you needed something done, there was one person who would do it without complaint and was happy to do it. We used to drive kids to youth on a Friday night. This girl, she drove 50 kilometers every Friday night to pick up one kid for youth, using her own fuel, bring her back into town for youth group, and then drive 50 kilometers at the end of youth group to drop her off and come back. That's 200 kilometers every Friday night using her own fuel. No one asked her to do it. No one forced her to do it. Never complained about it. She wanted to do it. There was one girl in the church who bled for the place like I did. I could tell we shared the same values. There were other girls there, but they didn't love it as much as I loved it. Does this make sense? Values. What do you consider important? See, marriage is a yoke. That's what the Bible says. Do not be unequally yoked, right? And we always talk about a believer and unbeliever. You can even be unequally yoked with someone in the church of God. Because they might be there occasionally. They might be around, but they might not love it like you love it. You with me? They might not be as sold out as you're sold out. They might not love the house, love the call. They might not love missions like you love missions. They might not have that passion for education like you have that passion for education. You need to have the same values, not just the same. I tell you what, values are way more important than interests. You'll find out over the years of marriage, or at least we have, we actually don't have that many common interests. I love sport. My wife kind of told me a fib in that courtship period. She told me that she loved the Brisbane Broncos. She's watched one game in 20 years. She likes to watch these weird shows where nothing happens. I try to sit down next to her and I say, all right, what's going on? Oh, you know, well, are we solving a crime here? Who's the baddies? Well, there are no baddies. There's got to be baddies. You know, I don't like what she didn't really get into. I like golf. We tried to play golf on our honeymoon. Our marriage nearly ended, I tell you. Values are way more important than interests. And the other thing is direction. Are we headed in a similar direction? See, marriage is a yoke. Once you're yoked to someone, where they want to go, you're going to have to go. If you're heading this way and they're heading that way, it's not going to work. And at 20, 21 years of age, I had no idea. I didn't have every single thing mapped out about this is exact. I had no idea I'd end up in Mackay. right? Volunteering at school and what I'm doing, but we were headed somewhere. We were about something. Another thing that was working in my favor is I was about my business. You know, they say in the Bible, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. It's true. Young people, you're looking for someone, busy yourself with the call of God on your life. Pursue something. Stop pursuing a partner. Pursue what God has for you. And what you find is that you move in that direction, you naturally run into people that are heading the same way. You know, the problem with most young people today is they're afraid of commitment because they have no idea where they're going. Come and join me on this journey called life. Where are you going? I have no idea. Then they join up and they find out after 4 or 5 years, you know what? You were always going that way. I was always going this way. This isn't much fun anymore. But if you start your life moving towards the call of God, you might not have any clear idea what it is, but you're just pursuing something. You're passionate about something. You're studying something. You're serving somewhere. I don't know what it is, but I'm doing something. What happens is you find people that are doing the same thing and they're moving in a similar direction. That's the person. You with me this morning? The movies have it wrong. This is why the rom-coms. No one wants the rom-coms, okay? Oh, the rom-coms. The rom-com, the focus of the rom-com is finding the one, right? This is the whole focus of their life, finding the one. And we kind of take that into our whole life. This is the focus of our life, finding the one. No, that shouldn't be the focus of your life. Because then at the rom-com, they find each other and then what? Movie's over. There's no purpose. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. Your purpose should be moving towards the call of God on your life, and on that journey, you'll find someone who's headed in that direction. The thing that was working in my favor at that time is I was sold out for whatever God had for me. Now, young adults is the time to sell out. Us family people, you know, we've got commitments here and this here and that here, but young adults, please, just sell out. Tuesday night was the Youth Leaders Connect. Wednesday night was worship practice. Thursday night was my own Connect. Friday night was youth. Saturday morning serving in the church. Sunday morning serving in the church. Sunday night serving in young adults church. Oh, that's a lot. I'm a young adult. I've got nothing else. This is what I want to do. And guess who I ran into at every single one of those events? Very good guess. It was Lisa. Moving in the same direction. You with me? Headed somewhere. You're not going to know all the details of where you're going to end up. You're going to end up somewhere you never expected, but move somewhere. Because worship band, you can come up. Because the truth about marriage is this, and hopefully all the married people in the room can attest to this. Marriage, at the end of the day, is a lot more side to side than it is face to face. See, dating is face to face. You look dreamily into each other's eyes. You tell lies about your habits and your interests. It's like a job interview, right? They're just seeing all the best parts of you. Tell me about your weaknesses. Oh, the weaknesses is I care too much. I work too hard, you know? Whatever. But that's dating, right? It's face to face. But marriage does have face-to-face, and it's important in marriage to preserve that and to protect it and to defend it, because if that collapses, the whole thing can collapse, right? But even as important and as central as it is, 90% of your marriage is not face-to-face, it's side-by-side. That's why when God made Eve, he says, I'll make you a helper, not a lover, right? A helper, someone who is strong where you are weak. I've already given you a job. It's not good for you to be lonely. I'll give you a helper. So marriage is about together working, achieving the things God has got for you in life. You're raising kids. You're bringing home the bread and the bacon. You're pursuing the call. You're serving. You're doing this. That's what marriage is, much more next to each other than it is facing each other. Married people agree with that this morning? It's just the way it is. And so we base our choice on someone that we enjoy this face-to-face and we think this is all it's about. Well, the good thing about moving somewhere and being about somewhere is you will actually find someone who comes alongside as you're moving in that direction. And you'll actually find yourself being able to work with someone and achieve things together. And I said this thing at my, given my speech at my wedding, where Lisa was there. I said, I believe God's called us together because together we can do much more for Christ than we could ever do alone. And we preserve that face-to-face. We enjoy that face-to-face. I enjoy it more than she does. We enjoy that together. But most of the time, we are side by side. See, the person God has got for you, a husband or a wife, He's called you together as a team. He gives you purpose. He's got a call on your life. He's got a destiny in whatever field it might be, in whatever country it might be. It could be in the church, it could be in the world, whatever. That person that He's got for you is someone that comes alongside, and together you achieve more than you could ever achieve alone. And it doesn't have to mean that they are in the same field as you. That helper can just be the one that helps build the home, or encourages, or listens. You hear what I'm saying? But that's the person you need as you walk forward through life together. So my encouragement this morning, for those of you in the room who might be in that season, you might have been here worshiping with one eye open this morning. I was there. My encouragement to you this morning is to trust God. Trust God. Just move somewhere. Move forward. Busy yourself with the call of God on your life and trust Him to bring that person alongside at the right time. Maybe you've been married. It didn't work out. And you're in that season again. Am I going to be married again? What have you got for me, God? That can be difficult. But the advice is the same. Move. Move somewhere. Pursue something. Pursue something. It's much easier for God to bring someone alongside somebody who's moving and doing than someone who's just sitting and waiting, right? You don't need to go and chase this one, chase that one, take that one out on 10 dates just to find out they weren't the one. Take this one out on 5 days to find out they weren't the one. Pursue the call of God, serve. And whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says, do it with all your might. Just have a go at it, do it. When the time is right, if it's for you, God's going to bring that person side by side. It can happen a lot quicker than you think. And if you want that prophet's name, I'll give it to you. No, I'm kidding. You can. Strong marriages are so important. Strong marriages are the foundation of the church, the foundation of the body of Christ. We need strong marriages. We need couples that have been brought together by God, committed to one another in the good times and the bad times. Yeah, when it's going well, when it's going tough. If you're here this morning, you know what? I feel like I'm ready. That's still not a time to force it. There's still a time just to pursue Him and trust Him. Amen. Why don't you stand on your feet this morning? Apologies for going a little bit over time. I'm just going to pray for you in a moment. We'll finish with a quick song. And like I said, do not talk to Lisa. Do not ask her for any notes or feedback. She endorses everything I've said, I'm sure. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you that you have our best interests at heart. And Lord, whatever you have for us, whatever you've allotted to us, whatever our portion is, teach us to be thankful, to be patient, and to trust. Lord, it's not that you would make us great, but Lord, we want to make you great. It's not that you would tell our story, but Lord, however we fit in to tell your story and to bring you glory. Father, we willingly give ourselves to that this morning. I pray for all the single people. Lord, I pray for your patience, for your peace. Lord, for those struggling with direction, not knowing what to do, where to go. God, we just pray, Holy Spirit, for wisdom. Lord, that you would put something in their hand to do. Lord, you might not give them all the steps. You might not give them a map showing every waypoint, but you put something in their hand to do and to pursue and to busy themselves with, Lord. Lord, that they might submit to your time and to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.